Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Gina Miller, the lawyer who famously took the government to court over the right to trigger Article 50, has announced that she will do the same again if the new Prime Minister tries to prorogue Parliament in order to achieve a no-deal Brexit. She told Sky's Neil Paterson of her grounds for doing so.
Parliamentary sovereignty is actually the sort of jewel in the constitutional crown. And to bypass it, to close the doors of Parliament, we feel, from the advice and the case we've looked at, that the case law we've looked at, that that would be beyond a Prime Minister's powers. It would be an abuse of his powers to close Parliament to get through, or to not get through, or to limit the voice of the representatives that we all elect.
Convince people watching this morning that this isn't just another Remainer attempt to thwart Brexit.
I think in the environment we're in at the moment, everything is being made into a political football, and this is not. This is very much about defending the central core of our constitution, which is that Parliament is sovereign. And actually everybody, including especially Brexiteers...
Every Prime Minister has certain rights, certain rights that they can. Including the ability to see the Queen and to suspend Parliament.
They do, but in times of emergency, this time to actually do so for the express purpose of bypassing Parliament, to close the doors of Parliament and to limit the voice of our representatives, because we are a representative democracy, would be beyond those powers in our view. So our legal letter that went to the Mr Johnson on Thursday was to say that if he became Prime Minister, that we believe that that would be beyond his powers. And also relying on the judgment in my case in 2017, where the Supreme Court expressly said that Parliament could not be bypassed.
Do you think you've actually got a real chance of success at the Supreme Court, which is where this will end up? Or are you just making, as much as anything else, a political point?
It's absolutely not a political point, because this case, as the first case, would actually not change the outcome of Brexit. Mm-hmm. All it would do is give Parliament the voice to shape how we exited, or if we did. It would be up to Parliament to decide what it did. But the fact is, we cannot shut down Parliament. It is a central pillar of our constitution.
However, the Whitlam MP and Boris Johnson supporter Priti Patel fired back at Miller's prospective lawsuit and argued that Brexit was a policy that still, at least theoretically, had Parliament's support.
I'm not at all surprised, because this seems to be this absolutely relentless movement to delay Brexit, stop Brexit from happening, and of course question the integrity of a government, a future government now, not the current government under Theresa May, but a future government in its new renewed determination to exit the European Union and do something that us elected politicians like myself have said that we want to do, which is to deliver Brexit.
Now, Gina Miller was proved right. She won the case. There's every possibility that she could win this one. It would be proved by the Supreme Court that it is not within Boris Johnson's powers to prorogue in these circumstances. So, once again, we heard all this rhetoric from politicians at the time of the last case. You know, isn't it time for a little bit of self-respect and self-regard on the part of politicians like yourself? You say, do you know what? Going through the courts is not anti-British, it's not anti-democratic. It's fulfilling your own... it's fulfilling an opportunity that everyone in this country has, and the courts might just agree with that again.
Well, I think it's quite important to recognise that, of course, politicians, particularly those who were elected in 2017, were elected on a manifesto and a mandate to deliver Brexit. We are the elected representatives who have that job to do, and that's the point of a new renewed government going forward, that it'll be in the mandate of the government, a government that, you know, is determined to deliver Brexit, and it's not something that we subcontract out to the courts, basically, now, to intervene or have court judgments telling Parliament and elected politicians what can be done and what can't be done. This will now mean that there'll be a new government, and I emphasise this again, you know, after 3 years of stalemate, of protractedness, of absolutely going nowhere, where everybody just wanted to please each other, we have to make sure that we now deliver Brexit. We leave the European Union on October the 31st, come what may, because the public, the public that vote for us, vote for people like me, are done with this now. They want us to get on and do the job so that actually we can then get on and deliver a much bigger, brighter vision for our country and deliver on all the issues that matter to the electorate.
On Wednesday, an edition of the BBC's Panorama programme investigated complaints about continued anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. Several Jewish members gave their account of how the party's machine has badly mishandled the issue.
Labour has threatened legal action against the participants. Margaret Hodge told Paterson of her outrage at this proposal.
What were your thoughts on hearing that first-person testimony from former Labour staffers?
I mean, to be honest, Niall, it's hard to express what I'm feeling because I was, of course, devastated by it. But I don't know how often, how many people, how many incidents of anti-Semitism we have to have on our television screens or in our newspapers for the party leadership to stand up and really listen. There seems to be a dogged determination not to listen. And I think my main feeling out of that programme when I watched it was how young everybody was. These are young, committed, idealistic Labour Party activists and Labour Party workers, and they have been crushed by what has happened to them. And the final thing I felt was it was utterly deplorable and a complete abuse of power for the leadership's reaction simply to try and pursue these people with lawyers and trying to shut them up. I used to chair the Public Accounts Committee, and in those days, whistleblowers were really important to revealing all sorts of stuff to us. And I well remember when we had the Luxembourg leaks about tax avoidance or the Falciana leaks about tax avoidance in Switzerland, both PricewaterhouseCoopers and HSBC responding by taking action against the whistleblowers, trying to shut them up. I never thought that my Labour Party would do the same about whistleblowers trying to expose and deal with racism in the Labour Party.
Andrew Marr spoke to the Shadow Foreign Secretary Emily Thornberry about Panorama's findings and Labour's response to them. Jeremy Corbyn has criticised the programme for containing inaccuracies, and the party has attacked contributors to the programme for having personal and political axes to grind. Thornberry suggested that the party should exercise a less hostile approach.
We watched testimony during that one from former members of the party staff, young people often, very, very upset indeed. Do you regard them as credible witnesses?
I think that we shouldn't be going for the messengers, we should be looking at the message. I think that is what is important.
Which is not what the Labour Party has said about this. The Labour Party has said there are already lots of Labour MPs who are talking to us, saying they want to help us serve the line. It appears that these are former disaffected officials who have both personal and political axes to grind. This throws into doubt their credibility as sources. Do you agree with that?
I can understand that, and I understand that the Labour Party has concerns, and you know the Labour Party has put in a complaint about the way in which that programme was done.
Tom Watson's been engaged in what has become an extraordinary war of words at the top of the party. Swear words cast all around, people getting very, very angry. Jenny Formby, the General Secretary, particularly angry. This is what she said to Tom Watson recently. By choosing to ignore the steps taken by the party and commenting so uncritically about the Panorama programme, you are complicit in creating a perception that anti-Semitism is more prevalent in the Labour Party. Do you think that he's complicit in that?
I wish he wasn't attacking somebody who's going through chemotherapy. I think that is a mistake. I don't care, I'm afraid, about the soap opera. I actually care about the fact that I have a Jewish member of staff who, when she goes to family weddings, can't say who she works for. Even though I fight on this issue a lot, she cannot admit who she works for or what she does because she doesn't want to spend the rest of the day defending herself. I don't want that. I want us to sort this out.
The Work and Pensions Secretary, Amber Rudd, who has a long track record of opposition to a no-deal Brexit, told Marr that she was having a very reluctant change of heart.
You said it would be disastrous, no deal. Do you still feel that?
I still think that no deal would be bad for the economy, bad for security and bad for the union. So one of the good things is that both candidates feel that they are committed to trying to get a deal. But I have accepted that we now need to allow no deal to be part of the leverage to make sure that people compromise more. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing a bit of compromising. I would hope that the EU will compromise and that the ERG will compromise too.
And finally, Liberal Democrat leadership contender Sir Ed Davey laid out in brief the reasons that he should become his party's next leader.
Liberal Democrats are looking at two candidates, one of whom is a kind of younger, fresh-faced woman, not so well known to the public, and they're thinking, Which of these candidates excites us more, will excite the country more, will set the flame alight? Why are you the man to do that?
Because I've got the sharper vision, both to a plan to stop Brexit, but beyond that, a vision when we stop Brexit, a vision to tackle inequality that have caused the Leave vote in many respects, communities that have been left behind, regional inequality, plus my proposals to tackle the climate emergency and to invest in education so Britain becomes the best educated country in the world within a decade.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes Store. And we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.